Welcome back to HN Pod, your daily audio deep dive into the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. I am Sarah, and I am here with Mike.
Hey, everyone.
Today is Wednesday, March 18th, 2026, which means we are covering the biggest stories that hit the front page yesterday, March 17th. This is episode 338, and we have a really fun mix of topics today. We are talking about everything from corporate jargon and SEC regulations to the nostalgic small web, a massive console hack, and the harsh reality of software engineering latency.
Yeah, we have Coggy making not one, but two appearances on the front page today, plus the fall of the unhackable Xbox One, and a great piece from Avery Penneron about why your engineering team is moving so slowly, even with AI.
Let us kick things off with something that gave me a genuinely good laugh yesterday. Coggy Translate now supports LinkedIn Speak as an output language. This post shot up to over 1,300 points.
It is so brilliant because it is just perfectly executed satire of the modern corporate internet. Coggy added an option where you can translate normal English into the hyper-enthusiastic, buzzword-heavy dialect that has completely taken over LinkedIn.
The comments on this were absolute gold. A user named Sansig ran the Gettysburg Address through it, and the output is just terrifyingly accurate. It starts off, 87 years ago, our founders launched a disruptive startup on this continent, a new nation built on the core values of liberty and the mission-driven proposition that all men are created equal.
It gets better. It calls the Civil War a major pivot point and talks about dedicating the battlefield to team members who gave everything to ensure the brand could live on. It ends with hashtags like leadership, vision, legacy, and growth mindset.
It really captures that toxic positivity and corporate emptiness. But what I found really interesting in the comments was how this sparked a whole debate about how we detect AI-generated text now. A user pointed out that looking for M-dashes is their number one tell for AI.
Right. And then someone else jumped in, making the great point that we are relying on these trivial things like M-dashes or the phrase, it is not X, it is Y, to spot AI. And eventually, the AI companies will just train those quirks out. It is a cat-and-mouse game. And sadly, people who just genuinely like using M-dashes in their writing are getting falsely accused of using AI.
Exactly. It becomes a social problem, not a technical one. We even had commenters mentioning that students are intentionally dumbing down their writing or making grammatical errors just so their essays do not get flagged by AI detectors. It is a weird world we are living in.
Speaking of weird worlds, let us pivot to the financial sector. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission is reportedly preparing to scrap the quarterly reporting requirement for public companies. This was a Reuters piece covering a Wall Street Journal scoop, and it pulled in over 700 points.
This is a massive shift if it happens. For decades, the quarterly earnings report has been the heartbeat of the stock market. But the discussion on Hacker News really highlighted the bizarre contradiction happening in finance right now.
Yeah, a commenter named M. Oliver pointed this out perfectly. On one hand, the markets are expanding trading hours, moving toward 24/7 trading, and opening up 0 days to expiration options on more stocks. They are increasing the speed and liquidity of trading, but at the same time, they want to delay the actual information about how the underlying companies are performing.
It seems totally counterintuitive. That same commenter suggested that with modern technology, companies should just report dollars in and dollars out live to shareholders, just a real-time feed of the company's general health.
But the pushback to that idea was swift and fascinating. Someone immediately replied with Goodhart's Law, which states that when a measure becomes a target, it ceases to be a good measure. If you report daily cash flow, executives will just game the daily cash flow.
Right, and another user named Eng Sire explained how easy that is to fake. A company could just set up an LLC and legally swap $1 million a second back and forth in services bought and sold to mimic the appearance of a massive thriving business. Real-time money flow does not actually equal corporate health.
And you cannot ignore the current context. A few commenters pointed out that we are seeing similar revenue round-tripping in the AI space right now, where big tech companies invest in AI startups, and those startups use the investment to buy compute from the big tech companies. It juices the quarterly numbers. If the SEC drops the quarterly requirement, it might make it even harder to see those kinds of bubbles forming or popping.
It is definitely a story we will be keeping an eye on. Moving on to our third story, Coggy is back on the board with a new project called Coggy Small Web. This got over 700 points.
So Coggy Small Web is an attempt to surface the human side of the internet. They describe it as trying to humanize the web by amplifying the voices of genuine humans. It is basically a discovery engine that shows you recent posts from a curated list of small independent blogs. You just click a next post button and stumble upon something new.
It sounds great in theory, kind of like the old stumble upon days, but the Hacker News crowd was pretty critical of the execution. The main complaint is that Kagi's definition of the small web is basically just blogs and webcomics that have an active RSS feed.
Exactly. A user named Hamdinners wrote a great critique saying that this completely misses the actual small web. The real small web is the weird stuff. It is single-purpose sites, deep-dive shrines to niche hobbies, web experiments, and old HTML pages that haven't been updated in a decade but are still incredibly valuable.
They used Sheldon Brown's famous bicycle maintenance website as an example. It is a legendary resource, but it is not a blog with a recent RSS feed, so it gets excluded from Kagi's system. By requiring frequent updates in RSS, Kagi has essentially just built a modern blog ring.
And there's another problem that users noticed. Even in this curated small web, the AI fatigue is real. One user clicked Next Post 100 times and said over 90% of the posts were just tech blogs talking about large language models and coding agents.
It is the tragedy of the commons. The internet favors frequent posters, and frequent posting usually means lower quality or just chasing the current meta, which right now is AI. It is really hard to build a discovery engine that rewards quiet, timeless quality over noisy, frequent updates.
All right, let us shift gears to some hardcore hardware hacking. Our fourth story is about the Xbox One. After 13 years of being totally unhackable, it has finally been cracked. This tease from Tom's Hardware got almost 600 points.
This is wild. Microsoft launched the Xbox One in 2013, and they locked it down so tight that it became known as the most secure product Microsoft had ever produced. But at the RE Verse 2026 conference, a hacker named Marcus Gazadelin, who goes by Doom, demonstrated a voltage glitching attack called Bliss that finally breaks it open.
For context, voltage glitching is when you momentarily drop the power to the processor at the exact millisecond it is doing a security check, causing it to skip an instruction and allow unsigned code to run. It is similar to how the Xbox 360 was eventually hacked with the reset glitch hack.
But the big question in the comments was not really about the technical details. It was about the timeline. Why did it take 13 years? And the consensus was pretty interesting. It wasn't just that the security was good, though it was. It was that nobody really cared enough to try that hard.
Right. A user named AutoExec pointed out that almost the entire Xbox One game library is playable on PC, usually in better quality, so pirates and archivists did not have a strong incentive to break the console.
Plus, Microsoft actually gave the homebrew community a legal path. The Xbox One has a developer mode that anyone can activate for a small fee. It lets you sideload software, including emulators. So the people who usually hack consoles just to run RetroArch or whatever already had a way to do it without breaking the system's security.
It is a brilliant strategy by Microsoft, honestly. Give the tinkerers a sandbox and they will not try to blow up the whole playground.
The comments also went down a great nostalgic rabbit hole about the PlayStation 3. Sony originally allowed users to install Linux on the PS3, which kept hackers happy. But then universities and the military started buying thousands of PS3s to build supercomputers because the hardware was subsidized and incredibly cheap for the compute power.
Yeah, the US Air Force built the Condor cluster out of over 1,700 PS3s. Sony was losing money on the hardware, so they eventually removed the Linux feature. And almost immediately after they took away the official sandbox, hackers tore the PS3 wide open. It really proves the point that providing an official outlet for homebrew is the best security measure a console maker can have.
Our final story today is a fantastic blog post by Avery Penerin, also known as AppNoir. The title is Every Layer of Review Makes You 10 Times Slower, and it sparked a massive discussion with over 500 points.
Avery has this rule of thumb that seems exaggerated until you actually look at your daily life as a software engineer. The rule is that every layer of approval makes a process 10 times slower. And he is measuring wall clock time, not the actual effort time.
He breaks it down perfectly. Coding a simple bug fix might take 30 minutes of actual work, but getting it code reviewed by a peer takes about 5 hours of wall clock time because you are waiting on them. If you need a design doc approved by an architecture team, that is 50 hours, or about a week. If you need to get it on another team's calendar to coordinate, that is 500 hours, or a whole fiscal quarter.
And what I loved about this piece is how he ties it into the current AI coding boom. Everyone thinks AI is going to make engineering infinitely faster, but AI only speeds up the 30 minutes of typing. It does not speed up the 5 hours of waiting for a code review.
Exactly. If Claude writes the code in 3 minutes, you still have to send it to a human reviewer, and that reviewer is going to take 5 hours to get around to it, and they might be even more annoyed because they are reviewing AI slop that you didn't even read yourself. You cannot overcome latency with brute force.
Avery calls this the AI developer's descent into madness. You generate a prototype instantly, feel like a superhero, but then it has bugs. So you ask the AI to fix the bugs, which creates new bugs. Then you build an AI agent to review the code of the first AI agent, and suddenly you are building an agent framework just to manage the slop.
The Hacker News comments had some really practical takeaways on how to actually solve this. A user named Onion2K said the only way out is to shift the reviews all the way to the left. You stop doing asynchronous code reviews at the end of the process, and instead you do code design sessions up front. You agree on what to build before anyone writes a line of code.
Pair programming came up a lot too. Several people mentioned that for anything complicated, the fastest way to work is just to get on a call and write the code together. You eliminate the asynchronous waiting time entirely.
Someone even mentioned they have started pair programming with Claude. They make a plan together, the human types the code, Claude reviews it, and then they switch. It is a fascinating look at how engineering culture is trying to adapt to these new tools without getting bogged down in endless review cycles.
It really comes down to trust and communication. If your review process is just there to catch people doing a bad job, you have an organizational problem, not a tooling problem.
That is a great point to end on. That wraps up episode 338 of HN Pod.
Thanks for joining us today. We will be back tomorrow to break down the next batch of top stories from Hacker News.
Until then, keep your code reviews synchronous and maybe double check your MDashes. Have a great day, everyone.